Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ken did a lot of good things. Our offensive numbers are good. Like any time you go through something the first year, I'm sure he felt at times like he was drinking out of a fire hose. You're dealing with different things. But Ken is a hard worker. He's smart. And you got a guy who played the position at a very high level, you know, won national championships on a major college team. And that's an asset, too, knowing what, in this case, Josh is going through. And so Ken will be very self-critical. We'll all put our heads together.
Bills GM Brandon Bean on Ken Dorsey. Okay, a couple thoughts on Ken Dorsey. Likely returning as the offensive coordinator. So, you know, drinking from a fire hose, Bean's talking there about a first-year play caller. He even mentions, I'd like to think I'm a better GM now than I was in my first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all those points are good and fine and fair. There is one problem, or if I could make a little note in your program here. If you're going to do it this way, it's going to be a rotating cast of characters at offensive coordinator. We kind of know that, right? With a defensive head coach. So here are the potential scenarios for Dorsey next season. He does really well and gets a job, or he's not good enough and he leaves. And now that's 2 years on an offensive coordinator where if you're bringing guys in as first-time play callers and giving them a season of growth, if it went better, they leave. Ideally, you're right. So good, you leave right away. Secondary to that is, okay, not exactly great, we'll let him grow, and then he leaves. If he does grow, will he leave? You know, like
eventually.
Yeah. Right. It was kind of amazing that Brian Daboll stayed as long as he did.
Yeah.
For a guy that called a good offense for multiple seasons and grew a quarterback, helped to grow a quarterback, and Josh Allen. Daboll, I thought Daboll would be gone long before he was, and, you know, here we are.
It was a surprise he was their coordinator that final year.
Yes.
In 2021.
Yes, I would agree. And for Dorsey, I mean, I'm not sure if the clock is ticking on him next year. One of the things Bean did talk about is he said the same thing a lot of you out there and us have said about this Bills team, which is, they didn't have it down the stretch. They didn't look like the best team. Bean said it, right? Like, after the bye, something wasn't there. And the bye was week 7. The bye was not late in the season.
No.
So here you are evaluating an offensive coordinator that started gangbusters and then
maybe got figured out
or
a little bit.
Whatever happened, it dried up. The new ideas didn't produce results on the same level when they started. So you have half a season of being disappointed with how the offense looked, and you're bringing it back for year 2. Okay, there's going to be growth. Does he get a full season? Is he on and making a change at coordinator could be a move for them in October next year if things aren't going well?
Like mid-season? Maybe. But does it depend who else is on the staff? Depend if Joe Brady is still here? Like, would they be more willing to do something like that if he does not go to the Chargers or the Jets?
Which is something that's interesting to think about, because I want to say Adam Schefter, maybe Ian Rappaport, whoever first reported the Jets pursuing Joe Brady's, and I feel like the report about the
The Joe Brady Jets report was from Ian Rappaport.
Okay.
And he ended it with, it's unclear if Brady would take it given how much he loves Buffalo.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. And the other report about him with the Chargers kind of said something similar. Unclear if he would take it. So Brady getting this interest for these offensive coordinator jobs, Does he see himself as maybe I should hang here? I mean, again, like they're a team, so he's not trying to undermine Ken Dorsey. But either A, Dorsey's going to get a job because things go well, and then he's up next mm-hmm. to work with Josh Allen. That's the thing. Like, if you want to be an offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach, what's a more attractive job, the Jets job or the Chargers job? Justin Herbert, obviously, is way better
Chargers
than anybody that the Jets have to offer for now.
Yeah.
And then if it's Aaron Rodgers, well, maybe that's a good debate. So Dorsey comes back. We spent a lot of the season talking about this Bills team not trusting rookies, and if a rookie makes a mistake, he's got to sit for a while. You had a rookie offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I just find it interesting that the talking about growth, because they did make this decision to go to a first-year play caller at offensive coordinator in a Super Bowl window. This is a decision they've made, and they must like him enough to stick with it, which I don't have a major problem, Joe, with them keeping him on. But I would also think if they wanted to move in a different direction, it would be totally reasonable.
I wonder where they think, what do they think growth is? Taken aback a little bit at how much I heard in the last couple of days, frustration that they didn't use Nyheim Hines more on offense. Like, I get it. You traded for him, and he had, was it 11 touches on offense, 13 touches on offense?
Both the coach and the GM brought that up.
Yeah, and Bean talking about, Bean brought Hines up unprompted when asking, when there was a question about weapons. And, you know, do we need to get better in terms of weapons? And he went to Hines and, well, full off season, you know, more incorporated with the offense, the playbook, more familiar. And to me, if that is the criticism or if that is the nitpicking they're going to do with Dorsey this offseason is, hey, get this guy involved more. Like, come on, that cannot be the idea of where the growth needs to come from is, hey, get this running back more dump offs or more screens. The Hines stuff the last couple of days has really taken me back. But I don't know. I feel like second-year play caller, I can listen to it. I can understand why. Okay, he could learn things this offseason, evaluating what just happened in his first year as a play caller, and be better at it next year. And that's, again, assuming he wasn't good at it this year. I mean, I think he was fine. There's a lot of defenses of Dorsey out there. Was he perfect? I would not make that case. But I don't feel like it was so bad that it's absurd to think that he's going to get better next year.
Get some phone calls in, 803-0550. Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, what's up?
You know, one of the things I think that Bills fans might look at right now, and it might seem a little daunting, is the number of needs. You know, we're probably going to need a safety with, depending on what happens with Hamlin and Poyer being gone. We're thinking wide receiver. We're thinking, you know, linebacker if Edmonds leaves. We're thinking, you know, offensive line. But sometimes it only takes one player to change everything. You know, if you could, and I don't know how they accomplish this, but if you get a starting left tackle and you can move Deion Dawkins either to right tackle or to guard, all of a sudden everybody's slotted correctly. And one player contains the whole dynamic of the team. Like, I don't know how you do it, but what if Diggs was the number 2 or 2A, where you have a guy that's slightly better than Diggs or right on par with Diggs? We'd be happy with Davis at 3 and Shakir at 4 and McKenzie at 5. That's an adequate wide receiver position. You don't need 3. You just need 1 to be slotted in the right spot.
I mentioned this actually to Joe and Howard off the air yesterday about targets.
Yeah.
And there was also, I'm going to go ahead and find this, because last night there was a good thread and a good point, I thought, from some NFL person that I'm going to have to find right now. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. If your offensive weapons aren't comparable to the final four teams left, Niners, Bengals, Eagles, Chiefs,
uh-huh.
You are behind. And I think the Bills are behind all those teams. You might say the Chiefs is not a great weapon set, but it's more diverse than the Bills.
It's deeper, too, than the Bills.
They
tried.
Yes.
Right? Like, they signed Juju Smith-Schuster. They signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Then traded for Kadarius
And
Sully.
Those guys were both cheap. The Bills could get signings like Schuster.
Sure. That was like $8 million.
Oh, yeah. Like, those two guys were cheap. They have Kelce, who's a Hall of Famer, and they run the offense through him. He gets the ball mm-hmm. every game 20 times. Not quite. But you know what I'm saying. And to that point about the weapons and Diggs, the Eagles. So in game one of the season, A.J. Brown had 13 targets to Devonta Smith's 3.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they've been about even. They have two receivers that they target like number ones. You cannot simply just take out A.J. Brown for the Eagles because they've got Devonta Smith on the other side. Their number two receiver is a Heisman Trophy winner in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And this gets to a lot of the Hill and Waddle stuff. Tyreek Hill, you know, the Bills love to try and take him out of a game. How did they play against Hill? Not bad. How did Waddle do? He got open all day against the Bills. That's in Miami. That's here. Multiple games, right? He had the deep play that split the Bills in week three.
Mm-hmm.
He had a touchdown, a catch and run by the safeties in the second matchup. And in the third one, he dropped a couple spots where he was open down the field.
Right.
Jalen Waddle routinely got open against the Bills, where they just focused on Hill and the other guy could beat you. And for the Bills, you know, whether we're talking about low percentage throws or we're talking too much about Davis, the Bills don't have a number two receiver that is a number one. The goal should be not to have a number two. It's kind of what Jerry says here. The goal should be to find as close as you can as your second number one and have two ones. And that'll also go for, you know, as you're going to point out a lot going down the stretch, Joe, when Diggs starts to age out, his age 30, 31, 32 year,
mm-hmm.
you already have somebody that you feel is really, really good as a part of your weapon set. So they need a lot. They're going to want to rebuild the offensive line. They're probably going to focus a lot on the defensive line. I'm good with that. I'm going to mention wide receiver approximately 2 million times between now and the draft. That doesn't mean I want them to neglect the rest of the team. It just means that I need them to identify that this was a problem for them this year.
Yeah. And also, this is where I mentioned yesterday, like when Bean would get asked about the weapons and, you know, trying to be more like the Bengals when it comes to just they are overwhelming when it comes to pass catchers. And he went to talking about Ja'Marr Chase. And I'd love to get Ja'Marr Chase, but I don't want to suck for, you know, a year or two and be picking fifth overall. To me, you can look at all of these teams that are left right now and look at, not all of them, because I think the Eagles are the one team where they got, you can't really replicate how they did it. They got Devontae Smith, what, like 11th overall? They got him at a place in the first round where the Bills would have a very hard time getting to. And then they traded for A.J. Brown and gave him a monster contract. We really can't do either one of those things. But look at the other three teams. The other three teams all have weapons that are significantly, to me, better than the Bills after the number one guy.
Yeah.
And how did they get them? The Bengals got their number two guy, T. Higgins, in the second round, 33rd overall, which for the Bills might be like their first round pick because it's only a few spots above. But a second-round pick is how they got their guy. And Boyd, by the way, if you want him, he was, I think, also a second-round pick way back when. The 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, was 25th overall. He was a late first-round pick, right where the Bills are going to be drafting. The Chiefs, I don't know which guy you'd call their number two, but it's probably Juju Smith-Schuster. Again, one-year, prove-it type contract, free agency, not big money. And if you want to say it's Kadarius Toney, which I'll listen to because he is dynamite when he is healthy, that was a third-round pick. Like, the Higginses of the world, the Boyds, Tonys.
You didn't mention Debo.
I didn't mention Debo. He was a second-round pick.
Second-round pick.
Like, those players are attainable. But they're only attainable
if you try. If you take
them. Yeah. I forgot who was debating with me yesterday on Twitter, one of the guys from Football Guys. Like, who did you want them to take in the second round last year? I just want them to take anybody in the second-round pick. Like, you can't get lucky if you're not buying the lottery ticket.
Yeah, or you just want them to take them with a first-round pick. Christian Watson,
right.
Or trade up. Like, the Chiefs traded up for their guy. And he didn't even, I mean, Sky Moore's not made a huge difference for them. But whatever. Like,
but they tried.
The second round, the late first and second round, is actually a really sweet spot for all of the receivers in football that are good. DK Metcalf is there. You mentioned Debo Samuel, Deontay Johnson.
Ayuk, we just mentioned.
Ayuk,
is a late
you
first.
Mentioned. Michael Pittman. Right? You actually do, when you pick late like this, and maybe that this is some sort of correlation between teams that pick late first round are good and probably have good quarterbacks, so the receivers, you know, they can kind of blossom.
Yep.
But first and second round, it is actually a very sweet spot to get your receiver. No, you're not going to get Larry Fitzgerald or Ja'Marr Chase. But,
well, sometimes you might, as you mentioned, you might get A.J. Brown or DK Metcalf or Debo Samuel or who is the other? Deontay
Brown.
Johnson.
Right. Yeah, so I'm with you.
Michael Pittman?
These
are all second-round picks.
It was a little odd to latch onto, I'd love to have Ja'Marr Chase. Well, you don't need Ja'Marr Chase. You need any one of the 10 guys we just mentioned would make this offense much, much tougher to play against. and, of course, an offensive line. Help at the right tackle spot. To Jerry's point, he said, you know, draft a left tackle or get a number one left tackle, move Dawkins to the right side. Why not just get a right tackle? And he went, you know, it's interesting. Like, he went being far to defend Spencer Brown yesterday and talk about how, you know, back injury.
Didn't really have an offseason.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. Spencer Brown has, you know, comes out of.
He also brought up, like, the social media film evaluators and whatnot when talking about Spencer Brown.
Hmm.
That, like, it's easy to kind of look at the film and, like, evaluate him, but, right, that's when he gave that context. He did throw in there, which he might have done with anybody, that, like, he's got to, like, there'll be competition.
Yeah, yeah.
But, right, he didn't sound like he's going to be so quick to replace Spencer Brown.
Which, they didn't really do that this past offseason. You know, it's a very small point of our draft coverage, but I remember asking several times, should we be talking about right tackle, or do you think they're just going to be happy with Spencer Brown? And they were pretty much happy with Spencer Brown. They brought in Questenberry, but they didn't bring in any sort of, you know, high commodity tackle.
Right.
803-0550. My theory on Leslie Frazier, I want to see if you think it if it's right when we get back. And then Paul Hamilton at 7, we'll get a little bit on the Sabres, who have back-to-back wins on the road after beating St. Louis last night. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.